I'm telling you, when he saw that this podcast existed, his almost exact words were, man, I need to do that podcast. I was like, Aaron, you can't just take someone's podcast. He's like, well, do you know her? I was like, yes, Aaron, but you're not going to like be bothering my friends with all your Chick-fil-A insight.
Recording artist Jamie Grace's resume includes some amazing accomplishments, including author of the new book, Finding Quiet, My Journey to Peace in an Anxious World. Of course, we're going to talk to her about that, but today on My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, Jamie Grace is also opening up about what it's like to be married to the Chick-fil-A cow. Hello, friends. I'm your host, Allison Storm, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jim Mann. Jim, gotta know, what's your favorite Jamie Grace song?
Well, it was pretty much everything we played on the radio back in our day in the radio, which, you know, Do Like Big, Beautiful Day, I just loved all those. However, my daughters were playing some songs. They always take over the auxiliary cord in my car, and they were playing some songs. I'm like, man, that is pretty good. Who is that? It was Jamie Grace. So there's a song called Different, which I really related to. And I love that song.
I don't fit in with everybody, but I stand for who I am and who I'm made to be. And at the end of the day, when fads and fashion fade, one thing will remain, that I'm a little different.
Oh, that's awesome. You are very different. And just for people that maybe don't know our background, Jim and I met working in Christian radio, and I swear hardly a day went by when someone didn't request a Jamie Grace song, in particular the song Beautiful Day.
It's a beautiful day. Yeah.
And we are so excited to have Jamie Grace with us today on the podcast. Welcome.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Oh, you know, I think ironically, the last time I saw you in person was in a Chick-fil-A parking lot in Charleston, South Carolina. I cannot believe it's been 5 years. It was obviously right after the tragedy at Manual AME Church.
Right. Yeah. I was just, you know, sitting here thinking about, like, I haven't seen either of you guys in thousands of years. And I was also just like, Jim, I do want to say thank you. I was like quietly, awkwardly listening as you were saying such nice things about my songs. And I wasn't sure if I was supposed to like, if people would like knew that I was here yet. So I was like, I'm going to just be quiet. And then I was like, I should say thank you. And then I was like, you should just be quiet. I just needed to just go ahead and just like acknowledge that. But yeah, that was the last time I saw you guys. We happened to be on the road passing through. Where you guys were, and I was able to just come and just, it was just good to have just like that moment with you guys, because obviously that was a very tragic moment for our country and culture. And so it's been a long time. Like, look at us. Like, we've got like all these children now and stuff. We're all so grown up. Look at us.
Oh my goodness. Seriously, you moved out west. You got married. You had a baby. Yes. Like, so much has changed.
I know. I'm all grown up. I got married in 2018 in April. And then that fall we got Prego. Well, I mean, I did, well, you know, and then
we had our
daughter. And so, yeah. So when mommy and daddy love each other, and so and then we have a child. So Isabella is one, and my husband, Aaron, he's cool too. Okay. Sorry. This is great. I'm doing amazing. I'm just blessing everyone right now.
All right, well, let me give people a little snippet of some of your accomplishments, because I know you won't do this yourself. So just in case you need a little Jamie Grace 101, here it is. She's been nominated for 2 Grammys. She won the Dove Award for New Artist of the Year. She's had 4 #1 radio singles and a gold record. She has millions of social media followers. You guys, she's had her face on 7-Up cans. Adele once called her up on stage to sing with her. She's married to a male model, and she has the world's most adorable baby, Isabella. I'm sure I missed about a million things in between, but
no, that was all so nice. You make me sound so cool. Thank you. I'm just gonna like put
so
all that
cool.
as like, that should be like my morning affirmations. Like, yeah, you are enough. That was so good.
I thought she was talking about me at first, but then
right.
But then I got to the married to the male model part.
Yeah. That's why I turned left. But let's talk about one of your proudest moments, a moment your husband happened to catch on video. You show up at a Chick-fil-A just to get some food.
So we pull up to Chick-fil-A and listen. It's her song.
Jamie, can you talk about what that felt like?
Yeah, that was crazy. We had just moved from like kind of like LA proper to Orange County, California. And I can't remember if I honestly can't remember if like I had just had the baby or if I was still pregnant at the time, because we go to Chick-fil-A so much. I really don't like I can't like keep track of what time of year it was. But yeah, so we had just kind of started our new like let's live like in a little family town, like let's live in a little family community. And of course, that's always down the street from a Chick-fil-A because that's what families do. So we just went to Chick-fil-A and we were like, let's just get us some dinner. And on the way out, we heard Hold Me. And I was like, that's me, which is always like so funny because it's like, I don't know, I make situations way more awkward and uncomfortable than they need to be for everyone else involved, because like no one else is looking around going, oh, I wonder who sings this song. But like all of a sudden, like I just get this like paranoia and I start looking at everyone like, guess what? Like, I'm just weird. But we just got excited about it. And so we were like, let's just make a little video and put it on the gram. So that's what happened.
It's so cute. Well, let's talk about the fact that you are married to the Chick-fil-A cow. When did you find this information out? I know you had a very short courtship. So is that because the cow thing like sealed the deal?
Oh, I mean, there were two things that definitely like assisted in me falling in love with him. I mean, a lot of things. He's great. But when we were like, because it was long distance in the beginning, and one was I found out that he has like a significant like love and respect for High School Musical, and I was like, well, I don't really know why I wouldn't marry you tomorrow. And then I found out that he used to work at Chick-fil-A, which was just great, because I was like, I know, you know, everybody works at Chick-fil-A. They keep those, well, I hope this is legal, but like, you know how it's legal. Like, you know how like sometimes like managers will just like give like employees like those coupon card things for like free cookies and stuff like that. So I was like, of course I got to marry him. He's probably got a couple extra like free Chick-fil-A cookie cards. but then I actually don't remember what point. I think it was after like we'd already gotten engaged that he was like, yeah, cause you know, I was the cow. And I was like, I need like that. You can't just say that. Like, I need a full story. I need to know every little detail about you being the Chick-fil-A cow. And so, yeah, it comes up in regular conversation because we eat Chick-fil-A at least like twice a month or maybe three times a month. And so it does come up in regular conversation now. But fun fact, when we were kids, which we didn't know each other when we were kids, but both Aaron and myself, we were afraid of like people in costumes like the Chick-fil-A cow. And so I think it's hilarious because like now I think the Chick-fil-A cow is awesome and he was the Chick-fil-A cow, but we were both like terrified of those as kids because we've like both separately two separate parts of the world thought they were creepy, but now we obviously think they're really cool.
What does Isabella think? Do you know yet?
No, she has not met a Chick-fil-A cow in person yet. We told her the other day, actually. He was like, yeah, you know, Daddy used to be the Chick-fil-A cow. And I was like, Bella, isn't that really cool? And she was just like, I don't really think she made eye contact with either one of us. She was just like, why are we talking about this right now? But she does like Chick-fil-A food. So there's at least that. She really likes to eat at Chick-fil-A.
Well, Aaron even did this tell-all video about what it was like to be a cow and work at Chick-fil-A. He talks about working the drive-thru during the lunch rush. And I love the part where he's like, yeah, one day me and this other girl, we almost broke a record. It was like, yeah. You could tell. Those are his glory days.
Aaron is very serious about Chick-fil-A. I mean, if we go to a Chick-fil-A and like the line is like wrapped around, he will immediately start saying like what needs to be done and like how like they can make it all happen and stuff. Like literally, like, okay, in Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri, there's this place called De Pere, and the Chick-fil-A owner there is named Dave Bruce. And that's Aaron's former manager and his current mentor in life. And like when I tell you that is the best run and operated Chick-fil-A that I've ever been to. And I'm not, like, I promise I'm not biased, But I was always so like a little overwhelmed when like we go to Chick-fil-A and Aaron's like, look, see, someone needs to be in the back dropping fries. And this guy needs to be out here with the iPad. I don't know why he's two cars back. He should be three cars ahead. And I don't know why they're like, he is always, and I'm like, Aaron, it's not that big of a deal. We'll get our waffle fries when we get them. And then I went to Aaron's former Chick-fil-A in St. Louis. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, y'all, this place is militant. Like, this is insane. But it's also still the friendliness and the vibe and like, you know, like hashtag Jesus is there and everything. It's great. But it's just so, it works very, very like, I don't know, just like very successfully. And so I didn't know that Chick-fil-A was so intense behind the scenes, but apparently you got to have like a lot of training and prep to work there.
Wow. Sounds like you need to hook us up with Aaron for an interview.
Seriously. Oh my gosh. Don't y'all, you, that would be the longest, whoever does your editing would be like, look, can this be a 12 part series? Like Aaron would have so much to say.
Maybe he could have a regular segment.
Like seriously, that he would do it. I'm telling you, when he saw that this podcast existed, his almost exact words were, man, I need to do that podcast. I was like, Aaron, you can't just take someone's podcast. He's like, well, do you know her? I was like, yes, Aaron, but you're not going to like be bothering my friends with all your Chick-fil-A insight. Yeah. So we're huge supporters. You guys know that.
I love it. Did your mom even work there?
You know, yeah. So and for those that are listening, my mom is, she's my manager. And so like, there are many situations where like, of course, like being, you know, lady, like I'm sure you and my mom have had really random conversations at like shows and radio stuff. I think my mom worked at like one of the original Chick-fil-A's back in Atlanta, cause that's where she's from. I don't think she worked there very long. My mom has really dramatic stories about how like, she would like get a job at like a restaurant and then they would be like, okay, we have to sweep. And she was like, oh, I don't do that. So I don't think she worked at Chick-fil-A very long. Like my mom was made for the entertainment business. Like she was not made for like everyday job. She is hilarious and goofy. So yeah, her story is another episode in and of itself. I'm surrounded by really enthusiastic and hilarious people.
Wow. So you moved from Georgia, the birthplace of Chick-fil-A, to California.
Yes.
How did that impact your access to waffle fries?
Right. Well, we did still have a Chick-fil-A, but we just had to drive like 30, 40 minutes. And then it was like a really like long wait. So we definitely didn't have it as much. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but it also kind of made it more one of those things where it's like worth the wait, you know what I mean? So like you build up this anticipation, like, oh, we're going to Chick-fil-A, everybody, like, you know, pack a sleeping bag. And it's like, the payoff is so good.
Well, I totally dug up this entire podcast that you and your sister did on Chick-fil-A a few years ago. By the way, Jamie's sister is Morgan Harper Nichols, who is also absolutely incredible and talented and amazing. But in this discussion, you guys had explained your typical Chick-fil-A order, which was a number 4 with added Chick-fil-A sauce. Is that still your go-to order?
Oh, man. Okay. Here's the thing, Allison. We need to talk about something really quick. I promised myself, my husband was my first like for like actual boyfriend. And I promised myself that I would never be one of those women that like when I got married, I like lost sense of self. You know what I mean? But I don't know what my Chick-fil-A order is anymore because Aaron orders for me. Oh my gosh. I've become that woman. Wow. Like he'll be like, yeah, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. I'm like, can you get me the salad? And I don't know what that means. So like now I get, it's a salad, but like no corn because I don't think you should put corn in salad. Sorry, Chick-fil-A. I don't know why you guys are still doing that. It's 2020. And then it has like the grilled chicken on it and I get the creamy salsa and then those little chili lime pepitas. But I don't know what salad that is. So whichever one that is. Or we now like sometimes we're able to get the spicy strips depending on where we order. So that's also fantastic. I know. But also whatever I get, I've also become one of those wives that like, whatever he gets is just better. Like I'll be like, oh no, I want this. And he'll be like, you sure you don't want a sandwich? I'm like, no. I want a salad. Give me a salad. I want a salad. And so he's like, okay, but I'm getting a sandwich. And I'm like, yeah, I want a salad. And then whatever he gets, I'm like, oh, I want that sandwich. So then I'll just eat his. So I have become that wife that is just like, I don't know what I want to eat, but also whatever my husband's eating, I eat it. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm her.
It's all right. We forgive you. I think you're talking about the spicy Southwest salad. So just for future reference, I think
okay.
That's
right. Yes.
And the other thing I want to mention is that in that podcast that I listened to from a few years ago, you said that Chick-fil-A needs to take the raisins out of the kale salad. And I want you to know they did. I don't know. Was that yes. just a coincidence? So now I'm thinking corn's going to disappear since you kind of claimed that.
Yeah, it probably should. I've had a few issues with Chick-fil-A salads over the years, and I keep going back. It's just I'm never going to be that person that's like I don't eat Chick-fil-A anymore. I'm going to like complain and then be like, but it's fine, it's still really good. The raisins in the kale salad, like, no, don't put raisins in salad. Got to not intend for that to happen. And corn doesn't need to go in salad, so hopefully this will speak to them as well. But they also did something, and I may have also complained about this in my other podcast too, sorry. But they also did something that frustrated me. They removed the lemon chicken Caesar salad, which that salad was so good. It was like the greatest thing, the greatest salad I've ever had at a fast food restaurant. And I'm a huge salad fan, but I don't really eat at other places because I believe that the temperature of the lettuce changes things, and all these places sticking their salads in like a freezer and expecting me to just munch, I can't vibe with that. But the Chick-fil-A salad, they know how to keep it in like a decently chilled fridge. So thank you, Kathy family. But yeah, they got rid of the kale. It was like a kale lemon chicken Caesar. And that was the best salad they ever had. So hopefully this is like my SOS. Hopefully they'll also bring that back as well after this.
Wow.
Sorry. Very passionate about that salad.
Yeah. Maybe you need to take a little rest right now, but we're going to take a break. But when we come back, how does Jamie Grace feel about the soundtrack of Chick-fil-A and also the details of her brand new book?
Hi guys, Allison here. I know you're a huge fan of Chick-fil-A, just like me. And I also know you're probably a really kind person, just like me. Just kidding. Which is why I love blessing people, even strangers in unexpected ways. You know, random acts of kindness. That's why I created a free printable to help you bless a friend or a stranger with a Chick-fil-A gift card. Because whose day wouldn't be a million times better if someone gave them free Chick-fil-A, right? So head to chickfilapodcast.com/free to print out your free Chick-fil-A gift card sleeve. Just print, cut, and pop a gift card in there to make someone say, Chick-fil-A! That's chickfilapodcast.com/free.
Well, welcome back. We've been hanging out with recording artist, author, podcast host, jewelry designer, Jamie Grace.
I've got an accent all of a sudden.
Is that because I'm a Georgia girl? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, Jamie. Well, how do you feel about the instrumental version of your songs playing at Chick-fil-A?
I actually love them. Like, I think they're kind of hilarious, but also great. Like, I kind of want to meet the person that makes them because I feel like that's a lot of work to take all of those, you know, like gospel and contemporary Christian songs and do instrumentals of them. So yeah, like I vibe to it. I'm like, this is cute. I'm cool.
Well, Jim listed off some of your many titles, one of course being author. Your new book is Finding Quiet, My Journey to Peace in an Anxious World. You've always been a very open person, at least, you know, I that's how I kind of perceive you. But what made you want to share your struggles with mental illness in this way?
Yeah, and thank you so much for saying that that you've kind of perceived me as an open person, because that's something that is a huge, it's just so important to me. I remember I've shared this story quite a bajillion times publicly, but I remember attending a conference called the Revolve Tour when I was 16 years old and hearing testimonies from people like Natalie Grant and just hearing the vulnerability and just hearing how much, like, it just changed my life so much. And I kind of just vowed from then on out to be honest with the things that God was doing in my life as well, in hopes that I could, you know, reach someone in the same way. But then ironically, when it's your turn to do that, it can seem scary, and it can seem like, why would I choose to do this? And that's almost what happened with this book. Like I started it. It actually wasn't like, I didn't set out to write a book. I was working on a journal because I have anxiety, I have diagnosed anxiety, but I also just like regular everyday humans, well, not regular, but just everyday humans, I struggle with anxiousness, right? And I just like, I get anxious about like, you know, even things like, oh, like ordering at a restaurant, like, oh, what if I take too long? Or like, what if I don't, you don't know what I want? Or like, what if my order's taking too long and I'm going to miss the appointment that I was on my way to or whatever? Or even just like, oh, I don't know what to text back this friend, or I'm in this friendship, I need to confront my friend about something, or I'm dating someone and I don't know how long we should be dating, whatever it is, like, we all experience anxiousness. Yeah. And so I wanted to find that, the difference between my everyday anxiousness and my anxiety diagnosis. And I wanted to try to figure out how I could best cope with those things, but also, figure out exactly like how far I could go as far as being free from those things as well. And so I started journaling, my like very intentional recovery process of therapy and worship music and prayer and devotional, and all of that stuff. And I showed it to my sister one day, because my sister is a lot cooler than I am and just a lot wiser than I am. And I just showed it to her. And I was like, hey, I've been working on this journal and I really need some accountability when it comes to managing my anxiety. And she looked at me after she read it and she said, this is not a journal. This is chapter one. And I was like, oh no, thank you. I was like, I don't do that. Cause my sister, you know, she's like a very well-known poet and, has published multiple books, and I've written like little mini books on like dating and relationships. Cause before I was married, people kept asking me why I didn't have a boyfriend. And I was like, leave me alone. Here's a book about it. And so, I'm like, I don't write books. Thank you. Like I sing songs and jump around on stage, but bye. And my sister was like, no, this is chapter one. And so with her encouragement, I just kept writing and writing and writing and realizing that everything that I was going through, you know, it's not so much like, oh, I'm anxious. Oh, I'm stressed out. It's no, everybody is dealing with the fact that we live in a very loud world, and there's so much peace and there's so much hope to be found when we can find quiet. And so that's what this book is, my journey to doing that in hopes of connecting with other people that are wanting to do the same.
You found success in music at a very young age. So how did that impact your anxiety and some of your mental health struggles?
It did both. You know, in the beginning, it was great for me because I was thrust into, you know, my very first gig was the show I Shine on TBN. And so that was great for me for so many different reasons, because I was surrounded by these other kids and teens that felt different and that felt like they didn't fit in because their lives are just different from other kids. And some of them also were battling adversity with their health. And so that was a great environment for me, because it was like, look, you feel different. You feel left out. Here's some other kids like you. And that was a really great experience for me. So, and the same with YouTube. It's like a lot of people, like most people don't sit down and watch YouTube because they're just having the best day with all their best friends. You know, a lot of people sit down and watch YouTube because it's 1 a.m. and they can't sleep. And so YouTube was great for me as well, because I was building this community of like, oh, all these people, like they don't have friends either. And so initially everything was just so great for me, but it honestly did get very challenging and it got very overwhelming. And, you know, symptoms of depression started pretty early, and those symptoms were easy to feed. It was easy to isolate. It was easy to do the things that weren't, you know, great for me. And I really thank the Lord. Like, it's nothing but His grace that I am where I am today, you know, that I didn't fall into like substances or something like that. Because like the, you know, it's the entertainment business, like those temptations are there for sure. So I really do know that it's nothing but the grace of God, but it did become difficult because all of a sudden it's okay. Your song is number one on the radio. So the expectation is, well, you got to do it again. But the reality is, well, I'm 19 and my college graduation is in a couple of weeks. Like, I want to go there, but I got to make the world happy with another one of those happy songs, you know, which is what I want to do. But like, am I happy doing it? Yeah. I'm happy doing it, but I got it. But if I don't do it, I don't pay bills. But no, I don't want to do it to pay bills. But I'm a businesswoman. I got to pay bills. You know what I mean? So it's like, it was really difficult just finding that balance of like really doing what I do for the joy of it. And also not becoming overwhelmed by the fact that it was something that I almost had to do. And almost like, because so much of my music has to deal with, you know, bringing joy to people's lives, which I love to do. It was hard when it first became currency, and now it's okay. Well, is joy the currency? And then what does that look like biblically? Like, how am I a child of God? So is this ministry? Am I an entertainer? It was tough. It was really tough. But like I said, nothing but the grace of God has carried me through these last 10 years. And I've been able to journal it all out in this book and be the woman that I am today.
It sounds like a lot to work through. And I'm sure those anxieties never fully go away, especially in a year like 2020. I mean, if you didn't have anxiety before, you probably do now, right? So like, how do you live with those anxieties now? Or, you know, what are your go-to strategies?
Right. I mean, one of the first things I definitely recommend, like, just say to people, like, it's okay. And I'm so grateful that Jim mentioned the song earlier. Like, it's okay for things to be different and it's okay to be different. And that's something that I struggle with because I don't like change. I have a color-coded schedule that I revisit like every 30 days and I love it so much. And, but I have to remind myself, like, it's okay if things look different. It's okay if your concerts are videos. Like, it's okay if you know, you're connecting with people that like your music through Instagram and not through an autograph line. It's okay for things to be different. And it's okay if, you know, kids are doing school at home right now and not doing, you know, school in a traditional classroom setting. It's okay if you have to work from home right now. It's okay if you don't have your same job or same income and you have to adjust and figure out something new. And that's not at all to diminish the grief and the pain and the suffering that many people are going through right now. That's not at all to say like, oh yeah, it's okay, it'll be fine. Like that's not true, because the reality for most people right now, the reality for many people is that there is a lot of grief and loss and suffering right now. But what I've had to acknowledge is that the things that are different don't mean that God is not working in them. It's just acknowledging that it's going to be different so that I can then move forward and see, okay, how is God going to work even through the different? And some of those things have been therapy. I didn't want to go to therapy at first because I missed in-person counseling. But that was something else where I was like, you know what, I'm going to have to be okay with therapy looking different and therapy being on a Zoom call, even though I don't like Zoom calls because audio quality is very important to me. And so I'm going to have to be okay with that. And that's just going to have to be part of, you know, how I cope and how I get through things. And another thing is just having my family support, and just having, like, asking them to check up on me even when I don't want to be checked up on, and choosing to talk to them about things that are difficult. So, you know, I think a support system is definitely a huge, huge part of managing anxiety. Therapy, if that's something that you can do. And then also just acknowledging that things are going to be different, but God is still going to move, even in the midst of it.
All right, Jamie, we've already established the fact that you're a very busy woman. And you're married to a guy that my daughters think is one of the most beautiful humans on the planet.
Next to me, of course.
And you have an adorable little baby, which they're not normally quiet. How do you actually find your quiet? What does that look like?
So I know it sounds quite silly and, you know, but my color-coded schedule is my best friend. Well, not my best friend, but it's like top five. it's really important to me. One thing that I was not great at, And I'm grateful that I learned it, honestly, like within the first like few months of marriage. But one thing that I was not great at in those first few months is that whole kind of like cliche of like, yo, like your spouse is not a mind reader. Like I would just like be feeling anxious and I'd be like, he can't tell. Like, this is what I'll, you know, like, what's wrong with you? And then I was like, oh, maybe I should tell him. So one of the biggest things for me right now is just like letting my husband know, like, hey, like I really need some time to myself. Like, is there any way like you can take her to the park or to the pool or like for a walk? Like, I just need a little bit of time, you know. We have like a couple days a week. His like work schedule is kind of different every day because my job is so weird. We kind of have to be creative with our schedules. And so we have this like one section during the day where it's like the afternoon right before he goes off to work. And we'll usually eat lunch together. And so it was actually Chick-fil-A the other day. He wanted to all go out to Chick-fil-A. He's like, that would be so fun. And then I could just drop you guys back off at home and I could go straight to work. And like the idea of spending the afternoon with my husband and daughter at Chick-fil-A, like, that is a beautiful idea. But at the same time, I just looked at him and I was like, bro, I can't. Like, it's like, you're about to be at work for, you know, I don't know numbers anymore, but like however many hours. And I need this time to myself. And so, and he was so chill about it. So that's one of the main things for me is just asking for it. It's so crazy how I think like a lot of us, a lot of us that feel alone, sometimes we're really good at being alone because we don't often ask for people to help. And I noticed that with my parents too. Like my parents are like more than willing to like come over for even half an hour and sit with the baby just so I can go shower or something. And I don't because I'm kind of naturally a loner, and I do deal with anxiety. I didn't realize that that's something that I could just ask for. And then if they can't do it, they just can't, but oftentimes they can. So I mean, I definitely, like, again, I don't want it to sound like I'm like, guys, it's so easy to have quiet time. Just ask your hubby to grab the baby. I don't want to sound annoying. But that's been one of the main things for me. Because at the same time, like, and not to be like graphic, but at the same time, like when I'm using the bathroom, like because my daughter has full concept of who Jamie Grace is at this point, like she will walk in the bathroom with my ukulele and just like ask me to sing a song. So it's not like I'm just, you know, living in this zen vibe of a household. Like it's still loud and full of song requests all day, but I do try to find that quiet as much as I can.
Well, you don't even have to ask. We're going to pause for a moment of quiet, but when we come back, more noise with Jamie Grace. We're going to play a round of Food for Thought.
Searching for the perfect gift for the chicken lover in your life? Check out our fan shop. Visit chickfiletpodcast.com/shop to check out never-before-seen t-shirts, jewelry, and gifts for the raving fans in your life. Seriously, this stuff is so cute. You got to see the waffle fry earrings. I gave a pair to Trudy Kathy, yes, Chick-fil-A royalty, and she loved them. Again, that's chickfiletpodcast.com/shop.
It's time for Food for Thought. Jamie Grace, answer these 10 questions quicker than a trip through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Have you ever worked at Chick-fil-A?
No.
If you did work at Chick-fil-A, what job would you like to have?
I would definitely like to work the drive-thru cash register.
Nice. What's your favorite sauce?
Buffalo.
Buffalo, nice. If you could only order one menu item the rest of your life, what would it be?
It would be the regular sandwich with an excessive amount of pickles, and then you have to take the buns off, and then you put the buffalo sauce in the bag with the chicken, and then you shake it up and put the Chick-fil-A little patty back on the buns.
Wow, that was well thought out. Okay, what menu item have you never tried?
Any of those seasonal milkshakes.
Okay.
I don't like that mint stuff and mint sauce. No, thank you.
Have you ever dressed up like a cow to get free chicken?
No, I have not.
That's right. Your husband does that for you. What celebrity right, exactly. would you like to eat nuggets with?
Probably Reba. Even okay. though she did... Oh, she was Colonel Sanders for KFC. That's a rival. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Okay, Dolly Parton.
Okay. How many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
Okay, It's not that I don't eat the nuggets. It's just that I believe the strips are from the Lord. But I probably could eat about 30 to 40 nuggets.
All right. Well, how many points do you have on your Chick-fil-A rewards?
So I have 0. But my husband has 2,000 and 23.
Okay. And we already know the answer to this one. Team nuggets or team strips?
always the strips.
Nice.
Yes, I am with you on the team strips. What? How can people not choose strips over nuggets?
I don't understand. The nuggets, they go away so fast. And the strips, I mean, at least 4 to 7 bites. And I only say 7 bites so that you guys will think highly of me. But, at least 2 bites.
Yeah, 7, that's a tiny little bite. Very delicate.
Right. Yeah, no, it's definitely not 7 bites. I just want everybody listening to be like, she's such a lady.
That's what I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, what about Isabella? What does she eat from Chick-fil-A?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm glad that my husband just walked out of the room. He like popped his head in for a second. Oh, now he's literally standing at the door. So we always debate what the baby eats from Chick-fil-A because he wants her to have the nuggets, like the regular nuggets and like a chocolate milk. I think they have a chocolate milk. Yeah, he's nodding his head yes. But I want her to have the grilled nuggets with like a side of fruit and like the regular milk. And he's just like, are you serious? Like, we're going to give our daughter grilled nuggets from Chick-fil-A. Like, if we're going to eat out, she's going to eat regular nuggets. So our current compromise is grilled nuggets and fries. And she usually still gets And she usually still gets the chocolate milk and he drinks some of it. So I'm like, okay, that makes me feel better. I'm the worst fast food mom. Like, I'm that fast food mom that's like, do you guys have low calorie like sandwiches for babies? I'm that fast food mom. I know.
Oh no.
I moved to California and I changed.
You're so granola now. Well, hopefully Aaron doesn't mind that we spend so much time talking about him.
Oh, yeah. He actually didn't even hear the part of the podcast when we were talking about him. So right now, as I'm saying it, that's his first time finding out. And it's going to be great. He's going to be so embarrassed, but also so proud.
Okay. Well, have his people call our people and we'll have him on at a later date.
Okay. Text me. Got you.
All right. Again, Jamie Grace's new book is called Finding Quiet, My Journey to Peace in an Anxious World. Jamie, how can people connect with you? I know there's a million ways.
Yeah. The greatest way. Wow. This is the greatest show. You can find me on Instagram at Jamie Grace H, JamieGraceH. H is the letter of my maiden name because the kid that has Jamie Grace won't let me have the Jamie Grace. So just wanted to call him out. he's really funny, I think. So there's that. And then I'm also on Twitter, Jamie Grace H and stuff like that. But if you like YouTube or any of that stuff, just jamiegrace.com. It'll take you to my book, my songs, and all the things.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you all for having me.
And if Aaron was doing this interview, he would have said, my pleasure.
Oh, I should. I know. As I said it, I was like, who even are you, Jamie Grace? Who even are you?
Oh, you're amazing. We love you. If you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend, take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you do me a favor? Pick up your phone, hit those 5 stars, and leave a review. We love reading them, and we'd love to read yours. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with 2 N's, madeproductions.com.